Hello, and this is your host, Michelle Wager, and you're listening to Wager on AZ, a podcast that focuses on local businesses and organizations within Arizona. But I'm switching it up a little bit, and we're going to talk about an organization that is actually national, not so much local, but we do have a local presence for the organization called Band of Runners. So Band of Runners is basically exactly what it is. It's a band of runners, and it sounds like a pretty cool community of runners that I'm here with Ricky Harrow. Ricky Harrow is part of Band of Runners, and I think he's considered maybe a mentor for a Band of Runners.
Possibly.
And possibly a mentor. And I wanted Ricky to come on because he had raised money for Band of Runners in an event that he had just completed about a couple weeks ago, and he was asking for donations in support of his event, Last Man Standing, which we'll probably talk about in a little bit as well as part of our podcast. And it was, along with his asking for dollars, he sent out a video that really touched my heart because, again, I'm a runner, and being able to hear how running affects other people within the community, how it changes their lives. And, you know, you deal with a lot of mental issues and a lot of physical too, but, you know, when you are out there, it's a lot of it is just mental. I feel like majority of the folks can run if they want to run, but it's the mental aspect that kind of holds them back. But with running, it really allows you to think, and it allows you to open yourself up, and it pushes you to your limits. And that's what really intrigued me by the Band of Runners, because it brings a lot of folks together that are dealing with specific issues. So Ricky, thank you for talking with me about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so how did you get involved with it?
So I was actually a camper a few years ago. My coach, Liza Howard, at the time had convinced me to come out. And at the time, I honestly didn't believe that I was really having any kind of mental, you know, quote, mental issues or anything along those lines. I'd just been living life and had this idea of wanting to run 100 miles. And I had my first 100 miler kind of under my belt. And then after that, Liza, I might have been noticing things and wanted me to just come to the camp and have a connection. And so I came to the camp and had just realized through all of the different lessons, it was just, you know, in terms of skills of running, but just realized also the mental side of things and how much, you know, things that have kind of slowly begin to come up of experiences that I had in my life. All of a sudden has resonated to the forefront, and I was like, wow, I actually need to deal with a lot of this stuff. And that's kind of where I started getting introduced into Band of Runners. Band of Runners has been around probably for a little over 7 years, maybe a little longer than that. It's kind of the brainchild of Liza Howard, who has a real connection to the veteran community. Her father was in the military and has been around in the military for a long time, and just wanted to kind of close the gap and introduce trail running to the military community. And she has a lot of really close friends that are military. She's got really close ties to folks also within the military outside of, you know, her friend network. And so I think that she believed that trail running, I mean, obviously like what you said, trail running is one of those ways of being able to connect like psychologically, but also have that physical connection that a lot of military veterans miss in terms of like the team environment and the deployment type of environments and that high pace atmosphere that's usually in place. And so that's kind of how I came involved in more or less the inception of Band of Runners.
So you had Liza coaching you on a 100 miler, and you said she noticed something. So with your background, you are in the military. How long were you in the military for?
So I was in the military for 6 years. But then after that, I still was doing a lot of government contract work. But really for me, it wasn't necessarily, there are some military experiences that went on, but I got back into running because my grandfather had passed away. And literally that next morning, like several hours later, and I hadn't run in probably 7 or 8 years. That morning that he had passed away, he lived right next to Mission Hills, California, which are these huge hills. And I remember when I was younger, I used to always look up and be like, one of those days I'm going to run up to the top of that. And when he passed away, I just decided to go up and run. And it was so painful, but it felt so great. And then after that, it was kind of more or less a connection for me and my grandfather. That was like a special time when I would run. Decided to go for a run my very first marathon. And then 6-7 months later, I ran my first 100-miler.
So you went from a marathon to a 100-miler. That's how most of us do that. So in your experience with that, so you can see that running helped you probably, you know, strip away some of the emotional feelings that you had in being able to mentally. I mean, it's draining. I'm trying to think of the words when you are out there. Just so much of it is being able to allow that time to deal with your emotions.
Yeah, it is.
And you hear just a lot of the runners that do the ultra distance are all battling something, not necessarily being a veteran, but being like, you know, with all the addictions and just mental health issues. And that's their way of coping. And instead of being on the drugs that the doctors want to put people on, the drug is of being out there and, you know, using this exercise piece.
Yeah, and I think it's also a super healthy. What I've learned is you do get into running and you get into the ultra running arena because of the mental coping strategies that you have to do to actually just finish the race. And you definitely see those as life lessons for, you know, real life. But then you also have this idea that it's just healthy. You know, it's really healthy too. And being able to connect with the community, or being able to be brought into a camp that is highly connected across the nation. You know, the camp brings in a lot of elite runners, a lot of runners that have course records, world records. And you know, you get this connection that just down to earth people that are ready to help you at any moment in time. And I think that connection of communities is huge.
Well, I'm on their website here. So it's bandofrunners.org, and you have a bunch of mentors. And I know that you're one of the mentors here. That's part of,
There because I like Oreos and running.
Well,
like I can connect to a lot of those kinds of people.
Well, well, that's part of the resume. And I know that's one of the questions that they ask. What kind of cookies do you enjoy? You say at least a row of Oreos. But I mean, it's really full of athletes that are part of the Band of Runners. And I mean, this is just amazing. So you know how important it is for these folks to have these types of runners that have the resumes that they have and these elite runners being all part of it. So it really must help when you have folks that are coming in for the first time. And I'm sure it can be real intimidating. So kind of walk through what it would be expected. So somebody that's not really into the trail running, but they know that they want to have that type of help,
sure,
or they want to be in that type of community or that type of atmosphere, what would a runner expect their first time?
So a lot of what happens is, and I think the reason why Band of Runners is so strong is that they're not necessarily connected to, they're not tied to one specific nonprofit that's helping veterans or Gold Star families, which are family members of you know, soldiers or individuals, even government officials who, you know, have passed away. This is solely kind of more of like a connector across multiple organizations. And so, you know, a good example is TAPS, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. That's an organization that is geared towards helping survivors of families that, you know, something happened to their spouse, It might be, you know, killed in action. It might be a plane crash or something along those lines. They can reach in if they have an idea. They could reach into Band of Runners to help, you know, those particular individuals. So if they're super active, this could be a community that connects to them. So ideally, what happens is that there are set amount of slots that are for those kinds of nonprofits, and it could be things like Wounded Warriors. It could be a wide variety. Team RWB.
I was going to ask you about that.
Project Phoenix, which is a big nonprofit out of San Antonio, too. You know, all these different types of veteran-based nonprofits, they can basically ask and request for certain amounts of slots. And Liza, who is the executive director for Band of Runners and really kind of the main person that has been driving this organization, her and another community of runners will select who they feel would be best appropriate for those slots. And then you can also have other paid slots too, those that are very limited. But a runner gets selected, they come to the camp, and the first thing that they're usually introduced to is just a warm welcome from all of these high elite runners that are just super humble and just want to just make sure that they're good to go. So usually the first thing that we do is we go out on a night run. And the night run is more or less just geared around being able to, knowing that you have to rely on somebody because you really don't know what to expect, right? Your headlamp, you know, what to wear and all of that stuff. And so immediately you're just like right in it with all of these runners, and you're in it with the people that are the campers that have showed up. And that's usually the first intro into the camp. You know, you arrive and you've got some administrative stuff, but that's like the big activity. And then after that, what happens is the next day, the day is usually filled full of skills and introductions to things like, you know, how to run on the trail, how to do downhill technique, uphill technique, how to work trekking poles, just everything that you can think of for trail running is all part of this. And then there's a couple other different lessons that are peppered throughout the day, you know, things like how to build and increase your mental game. There's testimonials from different campers that have come in the past, as well as, you know, a lot of these elite athletes have also had challenging circumstances. And so they're really cool testimonials for, you know, how did they overcome their challenges? You know, a couple times we've had Dave Mackey come on board. And people who don't know Dave Mackey's story, I mean, he still is an amazing athlete. But he was on the rise and had been on the rise for several years of crushing courses, and is very well known for being on the Leadville course and this and that. And he lost his leg in a big incident where a boulder had literally just crushed his leg. And there's a huge rescue that happens. And now he's running, you know, with a prosthetic and crushing Leadville again, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's got an amazing story that's helped out. And everybody that's out there has some kind of story. And that's really the idea, is to not only just pepper the skills training about how to prepare a camper for the days that they're out there, but also to give kind of that, tell the story of these elite athletes and what they've done to overcome a lot of things. You know, you have a lot of really cool examples of folks that are elite runners, but maybe they've pushed themselves to go and do something that is not in their wheelhouse, like, you know, do an FKT in the middle of nowhere that's solo versus running around a track. And that's their specialty, right? And so you get all of these storytellings that begin to happen. And there's just kind of this weird experience that begins to take place where all of a sudden, instead of looking at these as elite athletes, you look at them kind of on the same playing field in terms of that. So
they're real people.
Yeah. You get real people, real stories, and they're, you know, people can relate. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's kind of the magic behind the camp.
And as people that they're specifically chosen to go, so you put in your application and then there's specific slots that are available, would it be at no cost for these specific veterans, or would you call them Gold Star?
Yeah, some of them are Gold Star members, some of them are veterans. And there's just depending on the camp and how much funding is in place, depends on how much support that we can actually provide for the camper. In some cases, You know, in some cases it may be that everything's covered. In some cases it might be that, you know, we can only provide the slot if you can, the nonprofit could also, you know, maybe kick in some money for traveling or whatever it might be. And so those are usually decisions that are made. Liza will take a look at the finances and then make some decisions about what the camp looks like and, you know, are we able to fully sponsor an athlete coming in or a camper coming into place. But a lot of times, like, and what a lot of people don't really know about Band of Runners is most of the mentors are paying themselves to get there and feel that compelled to actually be there and minimize the amount of cost that it takes to bring a camper in play.
So now these folks that are chosen, they could be at any level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they may not have ever run on the trail, and they're chosen to come and be part of it. And then you've got the mentors, the elite athletes, that a majority of them are invited and don't have to pay their way to get into specific races, but because this is such a special opportunity for them that they will pay their way to go and be part of it.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's pretty amazing. So we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hi everyone, this is your host Michelle, and I'm here to talk to you about Zaya Active. Z-Y-I-A, Zaya Active. It's an active lifestyle brand. It's also a culture that believes in embracing activity with excitement, vigor, and delight. Zaya Active feels that pushing your body and mind is easier and more fun with friends and family. Their mission is to inspire and uplift by making activity a fun and essential part of life. Zaya Active offers high quality, amazing fitness gear for all people and all activities. Whether you're banging out a wad, practicing warrior flows, running the trails, or even just running errands, Zaya Active has got the clothing to fit your needs. So log on to myzaya.com/justbreathe, justrelax, just be you. To learn more and to shop for your workout gear, that's myzaya.com/justbreathe, justrelax, just be you. Okay, we're back. And so we're talking about Band of Runners, and I'm with Ricky Harrow. So when you are at the camp and people are arriving, how many folks are usually there as part of the group per year?
It really depends on the camp size. So that can range, you know, one year we had maybe probably 25, and then in other years we've had all the way up to 75. It just kind of depends on where the camp location is at. And, you know, over the next few years, we're going to be at Camp HEB, which is kind of in between, just a little bit north of San Antonio by a few hours. But the camp itself is set up to be able to house a fairly significant amount of folks. So I know that Liza for 2020 will be looking at the camp numbers and being able to say, okay, this is how many we can put in and actually support. But when the camper shows up, or the campers show up, you know, most of the runners are there, you know, and one of the things that I want to also maybe caveat a little bit is a lot of the mentors a lot of times they don't even really consider themselves elite runners. You know, you might have folks that have traversed across the United States, right, in memory of deceased military members, and so you might have somebody whose story is like that. You know, you might have an elite runner like Allie Greenwood and Dave Mackey and the Grossmans, you know, there. And then you might just have these everyday runners. And that kind of goes back to, like, the statement that you had said where the campers don't really need that much experience. And it's true. We basically look at each camper's kind of profile. And we have a community of folks that are part of a selection committee. And they'll interact with them prior to even showing up at the camp. And we have a Facebook group that's a private group that is set aside just for campers 2020 or 2021 or whatever it is. And we're immediately beginning to interact with them. And so all the mentors are in there, and the campers will pop up and they'll say hi or whatever in social media. And then we're immediately beginning to build rapport. And so a lot of times we break up into ability groups. And so you might have a group that's just very much enthusiastic about, they're enthusiasts, right? They're just there to learn how to run and this and that. And then you have legit athletes that are there that are that are also participating and wanting to kind of more hone their skills in downhill, uphill, or whatever kind of running that they're doing, and you're dealing with more of the kind of elite, more dedicated type of runners. So you kind of have the gamut across the board and different experiences based on that. You know, you have, and the mentors are also kind of set in their groups to be able to help deliver the instruction, because there's a lot of instruction that also goes on kind of directly with learning outcomes of, you know, here's what we're going to do for uphill running and things like that. But then you also have a lot of indirect discussion points that are going on. You know, a lot of times we start early in the morning, and sometimes it's before sunrise. You know, we start off with an early morning run, and it might be right at that sunrise level and get to a point where the sun's coming up, and you know, maybe the mentors are just posing a question about, you know, reflection and things to reflect on. And then you're there in that moment watching this beautiful sunrise happen over some Texas hill country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that begins to kind of start creating those experiences that we want to be in place. And Liza's done a lot of really good work with the curriculum and a lot of the reflection aspects of it to help generate those moments of experiences across the group. So even though it's like a race, even though you're running at different speeds, you're experiencing the same terrain and the same kind of thing. And so we want that very much to be like that. Mm-hmm. And usually at the end of the camp, there's some kind of challenge that's in place. So this year, the challenge is sort of like a last man standing or last person standing event where, you know, they had like 15 minutes per mile, and then for after a while that went on, then they began to decrease the time a little bit more. So they immediately applied the hard skills that they had learned, but then they also learned how to support each other and the community of running that goes into place, you know. And so that's kind of the power behind the camp too.
So the idea of, you know, it's a lot of physical and a lot of mental, and being able to be part of a group where you are reflecting together, because it is so individual. Running is so individual. And I think that's why it draws a lot of people, because it's not, you're not competing. I mean, I guess it is competition, but yet it's very individual, especially in ultra running.
Yeah.
You know, there might be 10 folks that are actually competing against each other, but then you've got 1,000 of other folks that are just competing against themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so being able to share that with a group of folks that you've just met and being in an environment that they can't judge you.
For sure.
Right? And having to be able to come together and share. I always think of the reflection piece, especially as the sun rises and all the emotions that must build up for a lot of these runners, because again, they're there dealing or battling with specific mental issues. You know, PTSD or sure, yeah, addiction issues or whatever that may be. How long does the camp last for? How many days?
It's typically 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
Usually it's around that time frame.
And how many miles does that equate to?
So it just kind of depends on your run group. Mm-hmm. You know, in some run groups, or even just in camp in general, you could rack up 20 and 25 miles pretty easy over that time frame, because a lot of times too, like you get with you connect with 3 or 4 runners that want to go out and do a night run after, you know, all of the main activities are done. And so the next thing you know, you've got 3 or 4 groups that are going out for a night hike or a night run and collecting up some more miles. And you still have, sometimes you have clients of these folks that are coming in, paying to come into the camp too. So you've got training runs and they just kind of connect together. And so, you know, I would say probably on average between right around probably 13 to 20 miles is usually a good range, just really depending on your run group and your abilities. Mm-hmm. In some cases, each day, if you're kind of more in that enthusiast group, you might maybe see 2 to 4 miles, mm-hmm, you know, per day. And then in other run groups, you might see a lot of miles in play. You know, where you're running really hard in the morning and going over speed drills and speed workouts on the trail, having a quick lunch and then going right back out and learning about power hiking and some of the downhill techniques and then just going out on a run after the fact.
So it sounds like it's more than just about running. It sounds more of like a big connection.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And I think the more that people connect in there, mm-hmm, usually what happens is after the camp, you know, everybody is still posting a lot of stories about the camp in general, or they're running their own blog and they're posting about the camp. But then there's also a lot of support too, because we run a calendar of Band of Runners of where everybody's competing, where everybody's running, and people get to see what's going on in 2020 for all, you know, all of the previous alumni of the camp. And so the next thing you know, you realize that there's three or four runners, and they get an idea, they start connecting with Band of Runners in other different places, but then they realize that there's just a ton more of the community that's out there that is literally doing the same thing, mm-hmm. not just necessarily ex-military or mm-hmm. other Gold Star family members. They all of a sudden realize that they're connecting with somebody else who may have lost a spouse, you know, or may be dealing with PTSD issues from a different light. And may not even be just, you know, the mental side of it. Just maybe there's a gap of when they get out of the military and they miss the military team environment. And now they're in a workforce, you know, where they don't necessarily have the ability to rely on military members. Now they're exposed to a community where it is very much a group and very much a community. And I mean, think about our group, you know, and our run group that we have, mm-hmm. we hold every Wednesday night. Like,
that's Thunderbird Trail Runners.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Thunderbird Trail Runners. Nice little plug. But I've never really been a huge community person. I've always been, I would consider myself to be an introverted runner. I don't really like to run, you know, with a lot of people. And I think that, you know, with Julie introducing me to the Thunderbird Trail Runners and bringing me out, that's definitely like helped. And I look forward to it every Wednesday.
You know, you look forward to OGs. I know. Yeah, another plug for OGs.
Definitely OGs is a highlight of the week. That's for sure.
So how many camps have you attended?
I've done, I think, four.
You have four? So far. Okay.
Yeah. I missed this year from a business trip, but yeah.
Okay.
I absolutely try to get out every year to do it.
And so give me some of your experience and what you have noticed or what you've taken away from your camps.
I think regardless of whether you're a camper or a mentor, everybody walks away just completely inspired. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be a camper who's showing up who, you know, is running on some kind of prosthetic or dealing with a challenge, and all of a sudden you realize that super steep hill that everybody was training on, you know, you're watching this person just plug away on top of it. You know, one year I remember watching, you know, after I ran with Dave Mackey in Marathon de Sable, which was about a month and a half before his accident, and he was competing at the top of all the main runners, and then it was a few years before I saw him again. And when he came out to the camp and I was watching just how fast he moves, even with, like, it doesn't even feel like he has any issues, you know, and that was just super inspiring to mm-hmm. see. But you also see other campers in that same way. You know, there's been campers that have come that have just had some pretty big mental challenges, and to see them over the years overcome that and become part of the trail running community, I think is a huge thing. So, like, for me, that's what I take away, is regardless of who you are, you're still learning tons and tons of lessons. And it's kind of like a recaliber every year. You go out to the camp and you're just humbled by the mm-hmm. kind of people that are there and the challenges that they're having to deal with. That to me is like one of the bigger things that I take away every year from the camp.
And it just must fill your heart to be in this type of community. I know there was an article that was in, I think it was either Outside or Trail Runner, about Bob Krar, and it was his story. He shared mm-hmm. his story and that he was going through his depression, and you think, oh, this guy is amazing. He's such an amazing runner. It's kind of a point where us runners, or myself, would just love to have a quarter of his talent, but yet he is dealing with this depression, and you just, it's kind of hard to understand, but
yeah.
It's his running that's been able to keep him going and dealing with it and accepting it and then, you know, moving on from it. And I'm sure that's what a lot of these folks have dealt with. So aside from the folks that are veterans or part of the family of veterans, you do have slots or paid mm-hmm. slots for people that yep. are not, and they just want to be part of this. They want to experience it, yep. right? That's available. Yep. And that's paid. So what would that look like price-wise? I mean, we're looking at...
Usually it's definitely cheap. I can't remember off the top of my head what the cost is, but it's usually within $100 to $300. It's some, you okay. know, I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what the numbers are, especially for 2020. Mm-hmm. But you know, what's nice about it is that you get people that are interested, and usually it's like you said, it's not just about the running. They want to also participate in some way, mm-hmm. and this is a way to be able to do that. And so. A lot of the folks that come are pretty blown away, you know, the storytelling that goes on and the connections that go on. And a lot of times folks that have paid to come in and come to the camp, you know, usually get a lot more involved in the actual camp themselves. Like sometimes they just show up and they don't think they come to the camp thinking it's more about an opportunity for skills training and things like that. But then all of a sudden it's like, boom, they're hit with the same experiences as everybody else. And so a lot of times you see a lot more heavier support that mm-hmm. come from those kinds of folks as well.
Well, doing any research and you look at doing any type of trail camps, they're very well catered and you really, you know, your shoes are cleaned every night kind of thing. But it also costs you, you know, $2,000. Yeah. Assuming this camp doesn't cost $2,000.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. In fact, I mean, if you're paying from an outside, if you're not somebody who got into one of those types of slots that are paid for, usually it's just your airfare and then whatever the cost of the camp is, which is extremely low. I was just trying to look up and see if there was even a cost for open registration on the actual campsite.
It looks like it's $350 for non-military.
Yeah.
So, now, would that be open to anybody, or is mm-hmm. that something that you would have to put in a no. resume or?
It's open.
It's open.
It's an open registration.
$350 yeah. to go to the camp.
So, I mean, when you think about
it,
like.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, a lot of these other high, you know, elite runners yeah. that hold their camp, it's $1,000 or
easily.
So for the camp. And, you know, for us, it's more or less around continuing to bring people into the a community. And it's not just Band of Runners community. It's mm-hmm. about these are the people that are considered networkers and they're interested in the camp. And then when they leave, it's that part of the network extensions that happen. You know, mm-hmm. that create that community and connections locally or within the regions that they're in.
And so folks can come over all across the country, all across the world,
yep,
probably, if they
the
choose
country.
To.
Yeah.
And it's usually held in the Texas area,
yep.
San Antonio.
It's Camp HEB right now for the next couple of years.
Camp HEB. Yeah. But you can find this information on bandofrunners.org.
Yep.
And everything is there. You can actually see some nice images of our own Ricky right here, of him running.
I don't know if they're nice images.
Of him smiling. And there's this great image of him under the mentors link, where it looks like he's on, are you in, right here, Mount Elbert.
Yeah, that's in Colorado.
That's in Colorado.
Yep, that was, I think that's...
You look way too happy.
Yeah, that's a picture of when I was scouting the Nolan's 14 line. I did not look that happy when I was actually running the line. But
my favorite is when they ask you, when all else fails, what do? Oreos and gummy worms.
Pretty much.
Okay, that's good. That comes from one of the mentors here. You probably share that with the Band of Runners as well. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the other aspect of this camp that I think is really good is when you think about life, you think about all the different fires that you have in life, right? And it could be you're dealing with a mental issue, you're dealing with a physical problem, but it's about learning how to put out those fires. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what this camp does for you is, you know, we have like Meredith Terranova, who is a nutritionist, and she's like top level, does all this crazy stuff with, you know, ultra distances. And she's the one who's teaching people how to do nutrition and how important it is to put that kind of fire out, that when you're stressed and you want to eat, don't be like Ricky Haro and eat, you know, gummy Oreos worms. And gummy worms. Like, you know, there's other things that can. And so she, when you eat and everything that you do at the camp, it's all about showing and demonstrating how to put those fires out in your life and not let them continue to fester and grow. And so I think when people leave the camp, that's what they're thinking about, mm-hmm. is it's not just about running. It's all these other elements that are in place that require and keep a good balance, you know, in your life, and allow you to put all of these little tiny fires out that help you grow, mm-hmm. you know, in the very end of it all.
Yeah, and I think that's such a great lesson, is being able to just manage mm-hmm. your life. Sure. And, you know, you're not a victim, and you have to understand that you can change your circumstances is how you view them. And you learn that a lot from running. And I know running distances, I can solve every problem of the world. But when you're done, you kind of forget what you had accomplished.
Yeah. You're worried about that little stone in your shoe. And then right. when you get home, there's some kind of stone in your shoe, you know, hypothetically, but you don't take care of it. You just let it fester down the road. But yeah. it's about getting the stone out of your shoe. And
just being able to manage that damn stone in your shoe. No, absolutely. So again, bandofrunners.org is actually a link that you can support Band of Runners. So yep. even if you're not able to get out to a trail camp, there's always ways to support this organization, as well as looking at all the sponsors that support the organization as well. It just seems such a cool thing, and I'm just really glad that to know somebody like you that is part of it and putting the energy into being able to support something like this, even though it's out of state. And I know we're, you know, my podcast is about the locals, but you're here, and again, it affects everybody, and that includes folks that live here in Arizona.
And there's a large veteran community here.
There is a large veteran community, and we do see a lot of the RWB groups.
Yep.
And I mean, are they even familiar with that?
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
with the Band of Runners, and that it does exist, and there's opportunities for them to take advantage of it.
Definitely.
Too. Yep. And so, am I going to be invited out to this event? When does it happen?
Yeah, we'll have to talk with Liza about that and see if we can get you on.
Well, you know, I could pay my way, and I'm not necessarily be a mentor, even though I've done 600 milers. I would never be able to give advice to anybody.
Yeah, you could.
But I would love to be able to maybe be even a volunteer if Definitely. I was to go yeah. and, you know, maybe be a sweeper. I'm a good sweeper. No, that's great. Is there anything else that you want to share?
No, that's it. No? Thanks for having me on.
Well,
it's
thank
awesome.
You.
It's an honor.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So that wraps it up. That was exercise. That was episode 9 of Wager on AZ, so I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye. Hey, Lilo, do you like chicken?